Welcome to Manifest, hosted by international evangelist, teacher, and author Perry Stone. Enjoy unique insight into prophetic and practical truth. It's time to feast on fresh manna, so get ready to be blessed and encouraged. And now, here is your host and teacher, Perry Stone.
I've titled this a very interesting title. I call it the Enoch Cipher and the Future Cosmic Signs of Christ's Return. We're going to put two stories together as one. In Genesis chapter 5, 21 through 24, there's a verse about a man named Enoch. And the Bible says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all of the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him." Now, the goal of my teaching today is threefold. Number one is to reveal the Enoch cipher and its link with the world's solar cycle as it relates to the fullness of time. Number two is to reveal the signs of the heavens that's concealed in the apocalypse, the book of Revelation. And the third is to reveal the last four heavenly symbols and how that they line up with the time of the end. And you're gonna understand that last number, the third one, a little bit later on. Now, the name Enoch simply means in Hebrew to instruct or to train. Some say it could actually refer to teaching or being a teacher. He was, according to the Bible, the seventh man from Adam. Now, before the time of the flood, men lived to be, 777 years of age up to Methuselah, who lived to be 969 years of age. And he was the oldest man to ever live on the face of the earth. However, something that's very interesting that I want to share with you is Enoch, in the first 10 generations of the Bible, he lived less time than any of the other 10 men in Scripture. And you can find that out by reading the book of Genesis and what's called the genealogies. Now, what I want to begin to share with you is the time that Enoch lived on earth before he was translated alive to heaven is 365 years. What is interesting about that number is a solar year. A solar year is 365.25 days. That makes a year. You know, you have the earth that orbits the sun, and then the earth orbits through the 12 constellations, and there are 12 constellations that we're going to be talking about. So Enoch, I'm going to talk about this probably later, at age 65, it's believed, according to even some of the writings of the early church, the book of Enoch and different books of that nature, that Enoch saw many of the mysteries of heaven at age 65, and it was he who began to understand what we call the constellations of the heavens, the star pictures that God has placed in heaven that the Babylonians and the Egyptians corrupted and caused men to go into idolatrous worship of the stars and the sun and the moon. But however, there is a true understanding and true meaning of these things. Now, let me give you, and I've got to make this very clear, because this type of message can be very controversial if you don't understand what I'm about to tell you right now. And that is this, that there is a vast difference between astrology and biblical astronomy. E.W. Bullinger wrote a fantastic book on the gospel and the stars, in which he did a masterful example of writing on how biblical astronomy reveals how God created the sun and the moon and the stars and gives us the original intent of how that they were created, as the Bible said, for signs and seasons. However, biblical astronomy is totally opposite from worldly astrology. Astrology is the belief or the idea that you were born at a certain month, and that certain month has a certain constellation. And because of the constellation that you were born under, there will be direct influences from the stars to you on earth. And this is where horoscopes come in and stargazing comes in and this type of thing. We want you to understand something from the very outset. Although we're going to talk about constellations, and we will probably use their modern names so that you will understand them, we're going to talk about it from the perspective of biblical astronomy. We are not going to be talking about astrology. Astrology, which is the idea that the sun and the moon and the stars control your life, your patterns of your life, is absolutely wrong. God alone controls that, And prayer changes anything and everything. So your life is not guided by the stars. However, God put word pictures in the heavens. This is what I call them. And when we understand these word pictures, it can give us a great understanding of, believe it or not, the time of the end. So in Genesis chapter 1:14, God created men, as you know, and men were to worship him. However, it says in Genesis 1:14 that the sun, moon, and stars were for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. Even Jesus indicated in the last days that there would be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. So we need to understand it from a total biblical perspective and not from secular astrologist that is working in a total carnal, in some instances, a demonic realm. Now, it's interesting that when you talk about the stars or the constellations of heaven, that there are 12 major constellations and literally numerous other smaller ones. However, Job is the oldest book of the Bible. It is believed he lived about the time of just prior to the Exodus. And there's the name of Job, for example, mentioned in Genesis 43 and 13, but also it's believed that Job, who the book of Job is about, was a son of Issachar, and the men of Issachar were men of understanding that knew the times, according to the book of Chronicles. It is also believed that Moses wrote the book of Job. Now, the book of Job was probably written, if it was written by Moses, 1,500 years before the time of Christ, or actually 700 years before the Homer and many of the Greek poets that are very famous. The Hebrew people actually knew the mysteries of heaven, and it's according to Jewish history, received that information from Seth, who was the son of Adam. And so Adam begat Seth, and Seth begot Enos, and all the way from Seth, the second son of Adam, who, of course, was the replacement for Abel when Cain killed him, from Seth's time all the way to the time of Enoch, who was the seventh from Adam, there were mysteries, according to even Josephus talks about this, and Jewish history, that mysteries of the sun, moon, and stars, and the cycles of the heaven, and one of them was called the great cycle of the heavens. In the time of Noah, was understood by these men and was given, God gave them direct revelation concerning this. Now, Enoch was actually 65 years of age, and he had a son by the name of Methuselah, and Methuselah's name means his death will bring, or his death will initiate. It's interesting that Methuselah lived to be 969 years of age, and that Methuselah died the exact same year the flood came. And you can go to the numbers of Genesis 5 all the way to Genesis 6, and you could calculate that perfectly. Job, in the book of Job, and again, Moses probably wrote the book, but Job himself is said to have mentioned three constellations in the heavens. He mentions in the book of Job, chapter 9, verse 9, chapter 38, and verse 31, he mentions the constellation Arcturus, he mentions the Pleiades, and he mentions the famous constellation called Orion. And he also talks about the chambers of the south, which again alludes to the constellations in the southern part of the hemisphere. So don't think it's strange as we talk about constellations and how they relate to prophecy, that we're talking about something that's outside of the realm of the Bible, since the names of three of these are mentioned in the scripture themselves. Another interesting point to bring out is this. Jacob had 12 sons. And many years ago, I remember going into a synagogue in Israel that had been excavated. And the floor of the synagogue totally shocked me, because there in this Jewish synagogue were the 12 constellations of the heaven. One of them is a virgin called Virgo. One is a lion named Leo. And I'm just stunned. And then they began to share with me that there was a belief, and I want you to follow me here because this is very interesting, that the 12 sons of Jacob actually chose an emblem in the heaven to represent their particular tribe. Now, when Joseph had the dream of the 11 stars bowing down before him, it does not mean 11 little twinkling stars in the heaven. It means there are 12 constellations in the heaven. Joseph had a constellation of his own. His brothers each had a constellation. And if you'll read your Bible, 11 constellations bowed down before Joseph's constellation. So 11 plus 1 equals 12. Now, in the book of Genesis 37, verse 9, we can read this particular scripture, which is very interesting. says this, "Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Look, I have dreamed a dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me.'" Now, the interpretation is given by his father, Jacob. He says to Joseph, "Shall your mother," now that would be the moon, "bow down before you?" Because his mother had already died. "Shall the sun," who is represents Jacob, the dad, "bow before you? And shall your 11 brothers bow before you?" So my point is, when I read this years ago, I thought it was referring to 11 individual twinkly little stars in the heaven. It's not. Every one of the sons of Jacob is under a particular tribe. Zebulun has an emblem in the heavens. Judah, it's the tribe of Judah's emblem is a lion. I think everybody knows that. So in other words, in ancient Israel, in the time of Jacob and the time of Joseph, the 12 sons of Jacob looked into the heavens and allowed themselves to pick a sign. And some believe that they actually may have originated the designs and the ideas that were handed down through history, not from Egypt, not from the Babylonians, but as far back as the sons of Jacob. Because remember this, Satan did not create the sun, moon, and stars. God created the sun, moon, and the stars. So God is the creator, and he gave men the ability to have 12 of them in the circuit of heaven, 12 major ones, and there were 12 apostles to the lambs, although there's no reference to the apostles ever looking to anything like this. But there were 12 sons of Jacob that, according to Jewish history, were each under an emblem or had a representation of an emblem of the heaven representing their particular tribe. Now, let's talk about this for a moment, and I think you're going to find this interesting. According to the Bible, there are 4 living creatures in heaven. And these living creatures, if you'll read the Bible, it says that John sees this vision of heaven of the living creatures. And here's a picture on the screen. And there is one at each corner of the throne of God. The throne of God has 4 corners. We could say the north, the south, the east, and the west. But there are 4 living creatures at those 4 corners. And you read about this in the book of Revelation over there in chapter 4 and chapter 5. One has the face of a lion. This is in the Bible now. One has the face of an eagle. One has the face of a man, and one has the face of an ox. And you can read about that in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 7. Now, keep the picture up because I want to show them something. Now, if you look at the face of a lion, the lion emblem in heaven is Judah. The emblem of Reuben was a man. The emblem of Dan was an eagle, and the emblem of Manasseh, one of the sons, one of the tribes of Israel, was an ox. Now, let me say that again. 4 living creatures in heaven. Look at this. And this is how the camp was laid out in the time of Moses when the tabernacle was in the middle. You see the numbers of the different tribes, but notice this. You have Dan to the north, and Dan's emblem was an eagle. You have to the east Judah. And this is really kind of messed up because the south should be at the bottom and the north at the top. But nonetheless, just watch this because this is how the camp was laid out. You have Dan that's represented by an eagle, Judah that's represented by a lion, Reuben that's represented by the man, and Ephraim, which is represented by an ox. Now, once again, why is it interesting that the 4 tribes, which were the main tribes in the north, south, east, and west of the camp of Israel, why were they an ox, a man, an eagle, and a lion? I said it a moment ago, because there's 4 living creatures in heaven around the throne of God, an ox, an eagle, a lion, and a man. 4 living creatures that cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Now, here's what's interesting about that again. You have the same, not only the 4 living creatures in heaven, you have these 4 emblems around the camp there in Israel. And so what is interesting is, and I want to say it, follow me carefully, Judah, the tribe of Judah, is a lion. That's the lion in heaven is Leo the lion. And you have the man, which is the south, you have Manasseh to the west, you have Dan to the north. And so my point is that you have 4 camps of Israel, 4 emblems of the tribes are in heaven, and there's 4 living creatures. So let's talk about who they represent in the constellations of heaven. Leo is the lion, Taurus is the bull, Aquarius is represented by a man, and Scorpio, the early emblem, was that of an eagle. So let's go back over again. 4 camps of Israel, lion, eagle, ox, man. 4 emblems of the tribes are Tribe of Judah, the lion. Reuben, the man. Manasseh, the bull. Dan, the eagle. Four living creatures in heaven, the face of an ox, an eagle, lion, and a man. Represented again in heaven. Don't miss this. Represented in heaven by, and I'm going to use the terms that the secular world uses so that you will understand. Leo in heaven is a lion. Taurus in heaven, the constellation, is a bull. Aquarius in heaven is a man. And the eagle is Scorpio, which was an early emblem. It's a scorpion now, but the early emblem was eagle. Now you can't look at this and look at the camps of Israel and the four living creatures and look at this without realizing God put pictures in the heavens through the stars, not to worship them, not to bow down before them, but to put a word picture to teach us the sign seasons and the days and the months and the years. And so what we're going to do right now is we're going to go into images that are used in the apocalypse, because this to me is very interesting. Now, when a year began in the ancient time, you begin with day one and you go all the way through 360 days a year. That was the old number. And then it became 365.25. You begin with a constellation called Virgo. And by the time that the circuit runs in the heavens, that the earth goes through that circuit or whatever, by the time that it happens 365 days later, you are back at Virgo, but the last emblem that you came to was the lion. So watch carefully. When a year begins, let's just break it down simple. 365 days make a year. You begin with the virgin. Virgo is a virgin. And you go circle completely full till you end at the lion, which the secular name is Leo. Now, why is that important? You're going to love this if you've never heard it. Because the gospel begins with a virgin. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, Isaiah 7:14. But it ends in the book of Revelation with Jesus, who is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Wow. So it began with a virgin, the story of the gospel. It ends with the lion of Judah, who is Christ. And that represents, watch this, the fullness of time, the fullness of prophetic time as well. And so that's very, very interesting, to say the least. Now, I wanted to also mention to you that there is a emblem in the heaven, and we're going to use the secular name again to help everybody put the story together we're talking about, called Draco. And Draco, oddly enough, is actually a dragon. Now, let me look at that emblem, because this is how it is in charts, star charts. It looks like this. This is how it's drawn out. And they have the different stars that represent the body of this imaginary dragon in heaven, Draco the dragon. But I want you to notice something that's very interesting, and that is this. And this is crazy, but a regular dragon is not like this. This is a snake. And in the book of Revelation, and this is what I want you to understand, that in the book of Revelation, when it says a great red dragon in heaven, the Greek word drakoon there is not a dragon, which is a mythological creature like the Chinese have a four-legged dragon and has wings and all that kind of thing. It is the Greek word for serpent, a keen-eyed serpent, a serpent that can see long distances. So when we talk about Draco the dragon as it relates to a constellation in heaven, we have to understand that what we're really talking about is a serpent. And you can see that is a serpent, and that's called Draco. Now, why is that important? Because in Genesis, Satan entered the garden by using a serpent to tempt Adam and Eve to sin. And what you have to piece together is in the book of Revelation, the dragon is called that, the devil and Satan, and that old serpent. Old, not just in age, but old referring back to the book of Genesis, which is the beginning of time. So Draco is a snake, and Draco represents Satan in the heavens. Now, what is interesting is if you were to see the star charts, Draco has its eyes. Now, remember, he's a symbol of Satan on the lion. Now, I'm talking about in the heavens. The way the head is turned in the drawings, Draco, picture of Satan, has his head on the lion, because that's where the battle has always been between Satan and the lion, who is the Messiah, the Mashiach, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Son of the Living God. Now, this is interesting. It's going to get, if you're kind of saying, wow, it's about to get more interesting. Trust me. All right. In the heavenly emblems, there are three that we could say represents evil. And there's three symbols of these, again, in the heavens. One is called Hydra, and Hydra is absolutely a serpent. Hydra is represented by a serpent. And remember, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 2, Satan is called a great serpent. Draco the dragon, again, the Greek word for dragon in Revelation is the word for serpent. So Satan is called the dragon, and there is in the heavenly constellation Draco, which means dragon. Hydra is a serpent. Satan is the serpent. Now watch this, because this is interesting. And the dragon is Revelation 12, 9. You have something also called Cetus. He's over there on the far left. Cetus, the sea monster. He's an ugly creature. And in Revelation 13 and 1, there is a beast that's rising up out of the sea. And this beast that's rising up out of the sea is the Antichrist. Now, once again, I believe this is why God did this. I believe that He put these images, understood by Seth, passed down from Seth to Enoch, seventh from Adam. And this is all Jewish history here, understanding this, that they knew the mysteries of heaven from the beginning of time. God taught it through them. And I believe God put it there originally for men to understand the mysteries of God and the mysteries of the future from a prophetic perspective. But Satan, like he does everything, attempted to counterfeit it, attempted to corrupt it, and attempted to pervert it. And he made out of it what we call secular astrology, which we told you earlier is not Bible-based and is not from the Lord the way it is taught today by secular individuals, we would say in the occult. This is not that teaching. This is biblical astronomy from a scholarly perspective as it lines up with the apocalypse. So there's three, the point is there's three symbols of evil in the constellations. Hydra the serpent, Draco the dragon, and Cetus the sea monster. And remember that beast, which is the Antichrist, Revelation 13, 1 that comes up out of the sea.
Now available, an exciting new resource from Perry Stone, Prophetic Summit 2020. Prophetic Summit 2020 was taped live at the Voice of Evangelism Studios and features 8 timely prophetic messages from teachers Perry Stone and Bill Cloud. Available in an 8-DVD video album or an 8-CD audio album, this collection is sure to address many of the issues important to you and your family at this incredible time in world history. Here's some of what you'll receive when you order Prophetic Summit 2020. What are the events surrounding the resurrection of the dead at the time of the end? Perry Stone examines this phenomenon in Unlocking the Maranatha Code. How will the power of the kingdom of darkness be overcome and the kingdom of God be set free to reign on the earth? Bill Cloud addresses this question in The Mystery of the Breaker, Kingdom of Heaven and Kingdom of Darkness. Does the Bible describe advanced technologies of war that some nations may already possess? Find out in Perry Stone's Future EMP Attacks and Apocalyptic Prophecies. Have Christians lost touch with an important spiritual heritage demonstrated in the lives of the biblical patriarchs? Bill Cloud urges a return to this deep historical connection in The Joseph Factor. In The Coming War of Gog and Magog and the Ezekiel File, Perry Stone explores in what ways the symbolic descriptions of war in the book of Ezekiel could come to pass in the last days. Bill Cloud examines a battle often overlooked by prophecy teachers between Israel and the descendants of another ancient people in The War in Edom. Uncovering parallels between the story of Enoch and descriptions of the second coming of Jesus, Perry Stone presents The Enoch Cipher, Future Cosmic Signs of Christ's Return. Finally, in The Mystery of the Final Birth Pangs, Perry Stone decodes some of the prophetic signs concerning Israel, nature, the cosmos, the church, and the Gentile nations. Thousands of viewers joined Perry Stone and Bill Cloud for this timely live stream event, and now you can experience Prophetic Summit 2020 as well. Order this dynamic, timely collection of prophetic teachings. Visit perrystone.org or call 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. You may also write to us at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. ask for offer 20PS1-CD for a gift of $60 or more, or 20PS1-DVD for a gift of $80 or more. Your support of Perry Stone Ministries makes teaching events like Prophetic Summit 2020 possible and helps us with the mission of presenting the Word of God to people all over the world. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brian Cutshaw, and I'm the Chancellor of the International School of the Word, which is at iso.org. We hope that you'll go there and see all the amazing deep teachings that we have for you that can be downloaded in a matter of seconds right there in your own home on your computer. Well, speaking of deep teachings, I know you enjoyed this incredible teaching by Perry Stone. There are very few people in the entire world alive who can break down the scriptures the way that Perry can break down the scriptures. And I know you enjoy listening to his teaching for many, many reasons. Well, if you love his teaching, you're going to definitely want to get this month's offer on the Prophetic Summit. We have the dynamic duo of Perry Stone and Bill Cloud, who are teaching current events in Bible prophecy. Some of these teachings are so rare, you're never going to hear them any other place and by any other teacher, because the Lord has truly given them unique revelation in His Word for the times that we're living in. You know, the Bible says that the sons of Issachar understood the times. We need to hear from prophetic voices that understand the times. And that's what you're going to get in this Prophetic Summit teaching, something that is very relevant to the day and age that we're living in right now. You know, the world we're living in is a world filled with confusion because of so many issues in government, riotings in the streets, so many issues with coronavirus and other types of things that has the world locked down. But I'll tell you one place that isn't locked down, and that's heaven. And the blessings of heaven, the storehouse of heaven, is still pouring out blessings on God's people. Even through the lens of a camera, in a lot of churches, revival is breaking out because God's people are praying. So if there's anything that I can encourage you to do in these days and time, that's pray. That is, get on your knees, call out the name of our government leaders, call out the names of national leaders, call out the names of pastors and churches, because we believe that revival is going to break out at the end of this pandemic, and we're going to see the glory of God, the knowledge of the glory of God, cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Yes, these are dark days for the earth, but we are seeing incredible things happening in the kingdom, and greater, brighter days are ahead for the kingdom of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you continue His work.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2020 Israel tour. The dates are November 23rd through December 2nd with an optional visit to Petra in the country of Jordan. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.
Expand your understanding of Scripture. Advance your effectiveness in ministry. Earn certification for your knowledge of the Bible. International School of the Word. Developed by Perry Stone and Dr. Brian Cutshaw, ISO.org is the premier online Bible school with dozens of courses, hundreds of lessons, and thousands of students all over the world. Sign up for one of our exciting, affordable Bible courses and begin your journey at ISO.org today.